You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hey, it is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Happy get over the hump day to you. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my late night, early morning Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. Shout out to all the first responders out there protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. Salute to you as well. And shout out to all my people that's out there up, need to start getting ready for work. Go ahead and get ready, but you're tuning in, looking for a little inspiration to get up this morning. I appreciate you tuning in. Go ahead and get up. Don't be late. All right. It's a critical game 3 for the Atlanta Braves tonight. Really, this evening. Game starts at 5:07. But, hey, I'm not mad at that. As a person who has to wake up early, I am totally fine with the game starting at 5. Be over about 8. We'll be good. Ain't going to be nothing else to watch tonight. Nothing of true note, at least. So, I am perfectly fine with the game starting at 5. What I will not be perfectly fine with, obviously, is the Hawks not getting the W. They need that. And I feel good about the Hawks getting the The Braves getting a win tonight. I think I said the Hawks twice. It's because I'm also going to talk about the Hawks playing their first preseason game last night. They got the dub, by the way, 108-107. But we'll talk more about that later. But that's why I was just thinking about them, and I was actually just looking up some stats for them and things of that nature. I listened to a little bit of the game on 92.9 The Game, which you can listen to every game, every Hawks game, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, flagship station of the Atlanta Hawks. If you didn't know, now you know. But speaking of the Braves, I would definitely, just like you, be upset if the Braves can't find a way to get a victory tonight, especially after the magical moments, that they had on Monday night to come back from a 4-0 deficit and get the comeback victory, tie the series up at 1-1. However, I'm feeling very, very confident they'll be able to get a win, ride the wave of the momentum they have created for themselves. But we do have to talk about what I think the conversation is for all Braves fans, and even probably some Phillies fans, of course, when it comes to this series, is who in the heck is starting for the Braves in game 3. Who are we giving the ball to start? And I heard that it might not even matter, or, you know, we shouldn't be looking too deeply into who's going to be starting on, who's going to be starting this evening, because it's going to look like a bullpen game anyway. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I definitely get the logic, and I get where that point stems from. But I think if you roll out Bryce Elder to start the game, I think you would like to see Elder go as long as he possibly can. Now, we know Bryce Elder, his approach is being very accurate with his pitches, having very good location, pinpoint location, because he's not blowing you away with his stuff. He ain't hitting 99 or 100 like Spencer Strider does. He doesn't have a crazy, wicked curveball or breaking ball like Max Fried or Charlie Morton to that nature. But his stuff is fast enough. His breaking stuff is and change of speed stuff is good enough to get out and fool hitters as long as it is in the right location, as long as it's in the right spot. But if Bryce Elder's location is off, you can't put his pitches where he wants to. That's where we have seen Bryce Elder start to get into trouble. So you could argue that if Bryce Elder's location isn't on, then you might have to pull him, and then you do turn it into a bullpen game. But I do think if you go with Bryce Elder, then I would think you would want him to stay in there as long as possible. I don't think you – I mean, maybe you do because of the postseason and you just want to keep giving the Phillies different looks tonight. And maybe you're just trying to get guys to eat up innings as much as they can. So I think if Bryce Elder goes, they'll want him to go as long as he can. But if not, then maybe you see Bryce go two innings. And maybe you see A.J. Smith-Shawver for two innings. Michael Tonkin for a couple of innings. So on and so forth. So I'll be very interested to see in who they put out there to start. I also heard that maybe the Braves could go with a veteran reliever to start the game if they are not as confident in Bryce Elder starting the game in a hostile environment, because to start that game, we know Philly's going to be turned up. They're going to be amped up. They're going to be loud. They're going to be cheering. They're going to be booing the Braves. And it's going to be quite the environment. And with Bryce Elder, obviously not necessarily ending the season he wants to, the way he wanted to, I could definitely see where they may necessarily not want to put Bryce Elder right back in that type of situation like that. So there's just, to me, it's interesting because there's a bevy of ways the Braves could go with this. And I think the way what they decide to do definitely will say a lot about how they feel about Bryce Elder right now, maybe how they even feel about A.J. Smith-Shawver right now. And if they start with a veteran reliever, then obviously that'll give you the indication that, okay, they're going to make a bullpen game out of this, not let one guy probably go through the order more than once. They won't let any of their pitchers face any of the guys in the Phillies lineup tonight more than once. And they'll really just try to take the approach of keeping Philadelphia on their toes and make Philadelphia have to face a different guy every time they come up. So, again, there's a numerous amount of ways the Braves can approach this. All are interesting, and I am definitely very interested to see who is going to get the start and what the game plan is going to be for Brian Snicker and the Atlanta Braves when it comes to pitching. Now, when it comes to the offense, I need them bats to show up, especially tonight, because, again, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to keep it a buck, keep it 100. I can't say I am the most confident that we're going to be able to shut the Phillies down tonight offensively. They have a good chance of scoring some runs tonight, putting some runs on the board. Which, okay, The Braves offense, best offense in baseball. Go score some runs. Score some runs early. Look, you are on the road. You get to bat first. Make the most out of that opportunity. Make the most out of being able to set the tone offensively. Come out swinging in the top of the first, not like swinging crazy, but come out being aggressive. Get some runs in that first inning. Be that first inning offense that you showed you are all season long. Be that Braves offense that hit the most home runs in the first inning, scored the most runs in the first inning this MLB season. And in MLB history, I believe. So, I really would like to see the offense set the tone. The offense give some early run support for whoever is going out there to start tonight. Don't care if it's Bryce Elder, AJ Smith-Shawver, Michael Tonkin. I don't care. What I want to see to start this ball game is the Braves coming out swinging, showing, hey, it don't matter we in Philly. We brought our bats with us, and we brought our big boy bats with us, and we're ready to go toe for toe, hit for hit, pound for pound, all of that. And I would like to see, when we get to the bottom of the first inning, whoever's out there pitching for the Braves have themselves a 2 or 3-run lead off rip. That is what I would like to see, and that would be my dream scenario for the Braves. You start off hot, take this Philly crowd out of it early, get them silenced early, get 2 or 3 runs on the board, top of the first inning. Maybe someone gets a hold of one and puts it in the seats of Citizens Bank Park. And again, set that tone early. Give your pitcher early run support. And I think if you do that, you take a little wind out of the sails of the Phillies and the Phillies fans. And I think that'll set you up quite nicely. So, to me, the offense has to set the tone tonight. Point blank, period. I'll take a win either way, obviously, but I would rather not wait until the sixth inning for the Braves to start scoring again. But again, at this point in the postseason, you just take a win however you can get it. Can't be choosy. But again, I think for the Braves to set themselves up the best way possible, you score early, and obviously you score often. But set the tone early. First inning, let's get some runs, get an early lead, take advantage of being up to bat first. So we'll see what's going down. By the way, before we go to break here, Aaron Nola starting for the Phillies tonight. And look, he is looking good right about now. He was vintage Aaron Nola the last time we saw Aaron Nola pitch, which was game 2 of that wild card series versus the Miami Marlins. He pitched 7 innings, only gave up 3 hits, no runs, only 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. In case you're wondering, Nola versus the Braves this season, 3.50 ERA, gave up 16 hits, 7 runs, all earned, 3 home runs given up, 4 walks, 20 strikeouts, and 3 appearances. So, ain't too shabby. But one outing we did hit Aaron Nola for 5 runs, so we can do it. I ain't scared of Aaron Nola. I ain't scared of nobody when it comes to this Brave Austin offense. They can hit anybody. Also, other good news, the Braves went 2-1 versus the Phillies this season in games that Aaron Nola started. And Aaron Nola's career numbers against the Braves, he's 15-10, ERA of 3.40, 203 strikeouts and 33 appearances in his career versus the Braves. So hopefully the Braves ride the momentum that they gave themselves after Monday night's game and get themselves a dub tonight and take the commanding 2-1 series victory. Game at, again, 5:07, that's first pitch. It'll be on TBS, and we'll all be watching and rooting on the Atlanta Braves. But when we come back, we got to talk some Atlanta Falcons. We start to turn the page and look ahead to the Washington Commanders. How do we get ourselves a second straight dub and stay undefeated at home? Let's talk about it in 5 minutes. Right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a happy get over the home day Wednesday. Hope you are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters, early gym goers, first responders, late night, early morning Uber and Lyft drivers. Everybody out there tuned in right now, appreciate you. Salute to you. My people at work as well are on their way to work, commuting right about now. And the Atlanta Falcons going for their second straight victory this Sunday against the Washington Commanders. They will be back in the friendly confines of Mercedes-Benz Stadium for a second straight week. And hopefully they can defeat Sam Howell and the Washington Commanders. How do they do it? Well, we all know that the Commanders have that stout defensive line, what, Josh Sweat. They got, obviously, a guy we wanted to get in free agency in Daron Payne, but he re-signed with the Commanders. They gave him a nice big old bag. Chase Young is back in the mix after dealing with injuries his first couple of years as a pro. So they have a, again, very stout defensive line. Jonathan Allen, cannot forget about him either. Them Alabama boys all over that, that Commanders defensive line. So they big, they're physical, they'll get after you up front. So obviously the pass protection has to be on 10, got to be ready to go. It'll be interesting to see. Obviously we know Caleb McGarry went out of the game. Storm Norton had to come in. He did a good job, did a very good job filling in. Falcons didn't give up any sacks this past Sunday against the Texans, so Falcons did. The offensive line did what they had to do not to give up any sacks. Obviously, Desmond Ridder did his thing too, you know, being elusive in the pocket and getting the ball out quickly as well. But the offensive line also did their job, so you have to give credit to them as well. But you have to do that again this Sunday against, again, a very stout Commanders defensive line. I think you should be able to have some success passing the ball against the Commanders. And, oh, by the way, we do have to talk about some big news while we're talking about the Atlanta Falcons. Van Jefferson coming to the ATL in a trade. This news broke yesterday, the Atlanta Falcons acquiring Van Jefferson for a 2025 sixth-round pick. They get Van Jefferson and a 2025 seventh-round pick. This is all pending and physical, but the Falcons have made it official that they are going to acquire Van Jefferson. Jefferson appeared in 49 games, had 13 starts, I think started pretty much close to every game that year the Rams won the Super Bowl. He was a big part of that Super Bowl team. So, appeared in 49 games, 13 starts, was a second-round pick, 57th overall in the 2020 NFL draft by the Los Angeles Rams. 6'1", 200 pounds, has totaled 101 receptions for almost 1,500 yards, literally at 1,499, and 10 touchdowns for the Rams in his young NFL career. I really like this move, but this move is also really fascinating to me because I know that the Falcons need and want somebody who can consistently stretch the defense, create separation. Dude ran, I believe, a 4.39 in the combine. So he's got some speed on him. He got some wheels. He ain't a Tyreek Hill, obviously, but most people aren't. But he's got some speed to him. Can stretch the defense. Think he'll still take the top off the defense if asked. I remember seeing him catch some deep balls against teams during that Rams playoff run, during that entire Rams season. I know I'll watch the games and see him catching a lot of deep balls. And Matthew Stafford would hit him on a lot of deep passes, deep routes. So, again, a guy that can do what the Falcons want right now and need right now. When you talk about what they could use in that wide receiver room, guy who creates separation, create space against DBs, and a guy that you can take some more deep shots with. Obviously, Kyle Pitts has been that guy. They take some deep shots to Drake London. And, you know, this will be another guy that can hopefully just open up the field and open up the rest of that offense for the Atlanta Falcons. And the other thing to think about this, too, is this will also help the running game because you get a guy and you make defenses think and make them cautious of what you can do in the passing game when it comes to stretching the field, when it comes to throwing the ball deep. Then they have to start to allocate more resources to what you can do on the outside. They can't stack the box like they've been doing against the Atlanta Falcons. So I think that is a huge part of it as well. They just need somebody who can be a threat to beat them over the top, be a threat to get by the DB and the safeties. So I really like this move. I also am wondering who is going to see less snaps because of it. Now, I know Josh Ali was put on injured reserve. And by the way, corresponding moves for this trade. Falcons released linebacker Andre Smith Jr. from the active roster. And they also released wide receiver Zay Malone from the practice squad. They'll probably put Andre Smith on the practice squad if I had to guess. But who is going to see less snaps because of this? Is CP going to continue to be in really a minimal role like we've seen? Or is Van Jefferson going to take the spot of Scotty Miller? Because Scotty Miller, again, was supposed to be that guy who was going to be that burner, be that guy who stretched the defense, took the top off the defense. Are they maybe not as pleased with Scotty Miller? Do they just want two guys who could do it? It's just very interesting to me on who's going to see less snaps because obviously Drake London's still going to be in there. Kyle Pitts is still going to be in there. Jonnu, who's done a very good job blocking and catching the ball, is going to be in there. I think they really like Kadarius Hodge. He's gotten a lot of snaps. I think he'll continue to get some run. So I'm just wondering, is Van Jefferson only going to be in situations? I'm just wondering how much of Van Jefferson we're going to see. And obviously, we're not going to see too much of him early. I don't even know if he plays this week. Obviously, he's got to get a little acclimated, learn at least something of a playbook, something of a route tree that the Falcons want to do. But I am interested to see how this changes the Falcons' rotations, how it changes up some sets, some personnel sets. I'm just very interested in this move because, I mean, you think about the Atlanta Falcons and the first thing you think about is all the weapons that they have, and they went and got another weapon, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with. You can never have too many weapons. You can never have too much depth. But it's just not the move I think any of us Falcons fans were maybe expecting. But again, that does not mean it's a bad move. I think it's a good move. You do need a guy who can take, again, top off the defense, stretch the defense, be that threat as a consistent deep shot. So I am very interested to see how this looks. I wonder how many more shots they're going to take once they do get Van Jefferson involved in the fold. How many more shots do they take down the field? And if they start to also either one, maybe not put Kyle Pitts on as many deep routes as they have been doing, because right now Kyle Pitts and, again, to some extent, Scotty Miller has been your two deep threats. Again, you put Drake London on some of those routes at some point. You put him up to bat and you let him win a 50-50 ball like he did last week. But it's mostly been Kyle Pitts and I feel like Scotty Miller going downfield. So do you let Van Jefferson run more of those routes, or do you put Kyle Pitts and Van Jefferson both on the outside and you let them both run deep routes? I could see some sets, and again, this is where you start to get a little giddy and anxious because you know how creative Arthur Smith is as a play caller. I could definitely see Kyle Pitts on one side, out wide, Van Jefferson out wide on another side, with Drake London and Kadarius Hodge in together. Bijan Robinson in the backfield. You don't know what's going to happen. You have Drake London and Kadarius Hodge running some maybe slant routes or some type of shallow crossing routes. And again, Kyle Pitts, Van Jefferson out wide going deep. Bijan in the backfield, and you let Arthur Smith and the rest of that offense cook, baby. So, again, very, very interested to see just what they draw up, how they plan to use Van Jefferson. Are they going to start running more deep routes? Are they going to start having more four wide receiver sets? I'm just very interested to see in how they bring this all together, how they put this all together with the addition of Van Jefferson. And again, I don't think we see anything of it this week. I will be pretty surprised if Van Jefferson plays. I don't expect him to play. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll see. He did play last week for the Rams. Only played two snaps, though. But we'll see what happens there. But as far as the, again, Washington Commanders, though, we'll start to talk more about it, dive deeper into the numbers and things like that, get thick into the weeds. Deep into the weeds and all of that, all of those things. But first and foremost, you have to stop that defensive line from wreaking havoc in the backfield all day long, because we know that's something that they can do. So the offensive line has to be good in pass protection. I feel like you should be able to run the ball against the Commanders. So I think you should be able to do what you want to do offensively versus Washington. Defensively, got to keep Brian Robinson under control. You don't want to let Sam Howell obviously throw it all around the yard with you. And I think they'll do a good job of limiting the Commanders' passing game. Scary Terry, very good wide receiver. They do have weapons out there. Logan Thomas, they got some guys. But I like my guys against anybody out there in the backfield. I like A.J. Terrell, Jeff Okuda, Jesse Bates up against anybody. You dig? D. Alford as well. So we'll see what happens, but we'll continue to break down the Commanders and Falcons matchup again happening this Sunday. You can hear it, as you can hear every single Falcons game right here on the flagship station of the Atlanta Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we come back, let's talk a little bad basketball. We're playing basketball because the Atlanta Hawks, believe it or not, had their first preseason game last night. And guess what? They got the dub. How'd it look? What did Quinn Snyder think? We'll let you hear it all next, and we'll talk about that next 5 minutes from now, right here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Get Over. Let me say that again. It is your boy Dylan Matthews with you on a happy Get Over the Hump Day Wednesday. Sometimes you just got to reset the tongue, you know what I'm saying? But shout out to everybody tuning in. Appreciate you. The Atlanta Hawks, they had their first preseason game of the year last night, and they got the dub, 108-107. It was good to see. Listen to a good portion of the game. Listen to the great Steve Holman as he keeps his amazing streak going of consecutive games called. But the Atlanta Hawks, again, emphasizing spacing the floor, taking three-pointers, shooting the basketball at a high clip, shooting the basketball at a high level. And, again, you can't take too much away from preseason, but I liked what I saw. I think it was pretty good. Can't lie to you. They took on the Cleveland Cavaliers, of course. And just to run off some stats for you, Trae Young played 16 minutes, 12 points, 2 of 8 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3, 2 rebounds, 5 assists. DeJounte Murray, 6 points, 2 of 7 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Clint had 7 and 10. Jalen Johnson, 7 points, 2 of 5 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Saddiq Bey in the starting lineup, and I think this probably will be your starting lineup. Trae Young, DeJounte Murray in the backcourt, and then Saddiq Bey, Jalen Johnson, and Clint Capella in the frontcourt. I do think this is going to be your starting lineup for the season. Saddiq had 9 points last night, 3 of 7 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, 6 rebounds. Onyeka Okongwu, nice night off the bench, 19 minutes, had 12 points, 2 rebounds. A.J. Griffin, 11 points, 4 of 10 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3. Trent Forrest, 13 points, 5 of 6 from the field, 3 assists. And if you're wondering about the rookie, Kelby Bufkin, 9 points, 4 of 11 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. 1 rebound, 1 assist. Hawks shot 43% from the field, 29% from 3, obviously. You definitely want to get that three-point field goal number up. You don't want to be a team that shoots 29% from three, especially if you're going to shoot a lot of threes. So definitely want to get that three-point number up. But, again, as far as the spacing goes, I thought the defense was obviously a lot better too. Now, again, it is preseason. Teams are trying to work their way into shape, work their way into game shape. Teams are also trying to get in the flow of things. Cavaliers obviously had some new pieces they're trying to work in, a Max Strus, George Niang, guys like that. So there are other factors, of course, but again, overall, I think the Hawks are going to be much improved to the point where we just see them play a lot more consistent every night. Like, we just see them play consistent on a night-in, night-out basis. If you remember these past couple of years, they've gone on streaks where they would win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. Like, they never got any solid footing at any point in the regular season. Like, it just seemed like last year, and I know at times they did it, but it just seemed like most of last year they never went on an extended winning streak. Like, just they didn't. Just felt like they were always win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. And this feels like it's been like that for the past few years, to be honest. So I think when I say the Hawks will be much improved, I think that's more so what I mean. I think they'll be a top six seed this year. How far up in the top six? Not quite sure. Again, Cleveland's going to be good. We know Boston. They're NBA title contenders. Philly, they'll still be good in my book, even without James Harden. And I don't know what's going on necessarily with that situation. He did report to training camp, so maybe he's going to end up playing. Obviously, if they do have James Harden, that's going to make them better than not having James Harden, in my opinion. So they're going to be good as well. Philly is. Milwaukee, we know what they're going to do. They're looking to win another title, bringing in Damian Lillard. So you got some Miami. Can't forget about them. They were just in the NBA Finals last year. So you take in Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, Miami, Cleveland, yourselves. That's six right there. So where do they end up in that six? I think they could finish above Cleveland. I even think they could end up finishing above Miami. So I think they definitely could be a top four seed. I don't think that's out of the question at all. And look, you never know what's going to happen throughout a season. But I just think the consistency of this team, we are going to have a better idea of what we're going to get from this team night in, night out. I think Quinn Snyder is going to help bring stability and consistency to this basketball team. And that's what I'm most excited about. Also excited to see, again, this offense get into its full flow of spacing, shooting, playing defense. Sadiq Bey doing a nice job guarding the post last night when he needed to. Obviously, Clint Capela and Onyeka Okongwu will be rim protectors for us as well. So I'm feeling optimistic about this season. And seeing what I saw last night, that definitely helped as well. Again, you have to get the three-point shooting up, but I think that'll come with time and rhythm and getting your sea legs under you, getting in game shape. I think all those factors play into how well they shoot as well. But Hawks do win their first preseason game 108-107 last night. And I will go ahead and say this. I made a promise, and I'm going to be a man of my word that I will say this. One of our loyal listeners here on 92.9 The Game is in our fantasy league. As we wrap up the show here, I do want to pay off my debt. Shout out to Skip. He's the man. He beat me in fantasy this week, and I told him if he beat me in fantasy, I'd give him a shout-out. So, shout-out to Skip. He's a man. Skip, if you listen in the morning, salute to you. Good game. I'm going to try to come back and get you maybe in the playoffs. We're going to see. But shout-out to Skip. He took me down in fantasy this week. I thought I was going to maybe be able to make a comeback, but it wasn't able to happen. Anywho, again, excited for the Hawks season. They play again their next preseason game. Is, I believe, Thursday. It is Thursday. They take on the Memphis Grizzlies. They, again, will be here in Atlanta, State Farm Arena, to be exact. And that game gets started at 7:30 with the tip. You can listen to, obviously, every single Atlanta Hawks game, including the preseason games. So you can listen on Thursday, 7 o'clock pregame on the Hawks Radio Network with Mike Conte. Then 7:30, Steve Holman will bring you the tip. For Hawks and Grizzlies, they'll give you all the action. All right, Bravos, let's go get a win tonight, baby. Let's go, Braves. Whether it's Bryce Elder or whoever starting, go give them that work. Go give the Phillies that work. Go give them some gas. Go give them some breaking balls, all that good stuff. And let's go get a victory, and let's go take a commanding 2-1 series lead out there in Philly and get the job done and move on to the next round. Take the next step towards moving on to the next round. All right, when we come back, we'll hand things off to the morning shift, see what they got popping for us this morning. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson, we'll see what they got going on a happy get over the hump day edition of the morning shift. We'll chop it up with them and hand things off to them right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a get over. Let me say that again. It is your boy Dylan Matthews with you on a happy get over the hump day Wednesday. Sometimes you just got to reset the tongue, you know what I'm saying? But shout out to everybody tuning in. Appreciate you. The Atlanta Hawks, they had their first preseason game of the year last year, or the year last night, I should say. And they got the dub, 108-107. It was good to see. Listen to a good portion of the game. Listen to the great Steve Holman as he keeps his amazing streak going of consecutive games called. But the Atlanta Hawks, again, emphasizing spacing the floor. Taking three-pointers, shooting the basketball at a high clip, shooting the basketball at a high level. And, again, you can't take too much away from preseason, but I liked what I saw. I think it was pretty good. Can't lie to you. They took on the Cleveland Cavaliers, of course. And just to run off some stats for you, Trae Young played 16 minutes, 12 points, 2 of 8 from the field, 2 of 7 from 3, 2 rebounds, 5 assists. DeJounte Murray, 6 points, 2 of 7 from the field, 2 of 4 from 3, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Clint had 7 and 10. Jalen Johnson, 7 points, 2 of 5 from the field, 0 of 1 from 3, 7 rebounds, 3 assists. Sadiq Bey in the starting lineup, and I think this probably will be your starting lineup. Trae Young, DeJounte Murray in the backcourt, and then Sadiq Bey, Jalen Johnson, and Clint Capella in the frontcourt. I do think this is going to be your starting lineup for the season. Sadiq had 9 points last night, 3 of 7 from the field, 0 of 3 from 3, 6 rebounds. Onyeka Okongwu, nice night off the bench, 19 minutes, had 12 points, 2 rebounds. A.J. Griffin, 11 points, 4 of 10 from the field, 1 of 4 from 3. Trent Forrest, 13 points, 5 of 6 from the field, 3 assists. And if you're wondering about the rookie, Kelby Bufkin, 9 points, 4 of 11 from the field, 1 of 6 from 3. 1 rebound, 1 assist. Hawks shot 43% from the field, 29% from three. Obviously, you definitely want to get that field, that three-point field goal number up. You don't want to be a team that shoots 29% from three, especially if you're going to shoot a lot of threes. So definitely want to get that three-point number up. But again, as far as the spacing goes, I thought the defense was obviously a lot better too. Now, again, it is preseason. Teams are trying to work their way into shape, work their way into game shape. Teams are also trying to get in the flow of things. Cavaliers obviously had some new pieces they're trying to work in, a Max Strus, George Niang, guys like that. So there are other factors, of course, but again, overall, I think the Hawks are going to be much improved to the point where we just see them play a lot more consistent every night. Like, we just see them play consistent on a night-in, night-out basis. If you remember these past couple of years, they've gone on streaks where they would win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. Like, they never got any solid footing at any point in the regular season. Like, it just seemed like last year, and I know at times they did it, but it just seemed like most of last year they never went on an extended winning streak. Like, just they didn't. Just felt like they were always win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game, win a game, lose a game. And it feels like it's been like that for the past few years, to be honest. So I think when I say the Hawks will be much improved, I think that's more so what I mean. I think they'll be a top six seed this year. How far up in the top six? Not quite sure. Again, Cleveland's going to be good. We know Boston. They're NBA title contenders. Philly, they'll still be good in my book, even without James Harden. And I don't know what's going on necessarily with that situation. He did report to training camp, so maybe he's going to end up playing. Obviously, if they do have James Harden, that's going to make them better than not having James Harden, in my opinion. So they're going to be good as well. Philly is. Milwaukee, we know what they're going to do. They're looking to win another title, bringing in Damian Lillard. So you got some Miami. Can't forget about them. They were just in the NBA Finals last year. So you take in Boston, Milwaukee, Philly, Miami, Cleveland, yourselves. That's six right there. So where do they end up in that six? I think they could finish above Cleveland. I even think they could end up finishing above Miami. So I think they definitely could be a top four seed. I don't think that's out of the question at all. And look, you never know what's going to happen throughout a season. But I just think the consistency of this team, we are going to have a better idea of what we're going to get from this team night in, night out. I think Quinn Snyder is going to help bring stability and consistency to this basketball team. And that's what I'm most excited about. Also excited to see, again, this offense get into its full flow of spacing, shooting, playing defense. Sadiq Bey doing a nice job guarding the post last night when he needed to. Obviously, Clint Capela and Onyeka Okongwu will be rim protectors for us as well. So I'm feeling optimistic about this season. And seeing what I saw last night, that definitely helped as well. Again, you have to get the three-point shooting up, but I think that'll come with time and rhythm and getting your sea legs under you, getting in game shape. I think all those factors play into how well they shoot as well. But Hawks do win their first preseason game 108-107 last night. And I will go ahead and say this. I made a promise, and I'm going to be a man of my word that I will say this. One of our loyal listeners here on 929 The Game is in our fantasy league. As we wrap up the show here, I do want to pay off my debt. Shout out to Skip. He's the man. He beat me in fantasy this week, and I told him if he beat me in fantasy, I'd give him a shout out. So shout out to Skip. He's the man. Skip, if you listen in the morning, salute to you. Good game. I'm going to try to come back in and get you maybe in the playoffs. We're going to see. But shout out to Skip. He took me down in fantasy this week. I thought I was going to maybe be able to make a comeback, but wasn't able to happen. Anywho, again, excited for the Hawks season, they play again. Their next preseason game is, I believe, Thursday. It is Thursday. They take on the Memphis Grizzlies. They, again, will be here in Atlanta, State Farm Arena, to be exact. And that game gets started at 7:30 with the tip. You can listen to, obviously, every single Atlanta Hawks game, including the preseason games. So you can listen on Thursday, 7 o'clock pregame on the Hawks Radio Network with Mike Conte. Then 7:30, Steve Holman will bring you the tip for Hawks and Grizzlies. He'll give you all the action. All right. Bravos, let's go get a win tonight, baby. Let's go, Braves. Whether it's Bryce Elder or whoever starting, go give them that work. Go give the Phillies that work. Go give them some gas. Go give them some breaking balls, all that good stuff. And let's go get a victory, and let's go take a commanding 2-1 series lead out there in Philly and get the job done and move on to the next round. Take the next step towards moving on to the next round. All right, when we come back, we'll hand things off to the morning shift, see what they got popping for us this morning. Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, Mike Johnson, we'll see what they got going on a happy get over the hump day edition of the morning shift. We'll chop it up with them and hand things off to them right after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game in the Odyssey app.